This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you back a returning guest. It's been a little while, probably about 9-10 months since he's been on the show. We're talking about Wealth Minerals Limited. They actually upgraded listings. Last time they were on the show, they were on the OTCQB. Now they're on the OTCQX. You can find them under the ticker symbol WMLLF. And with us today is the president of the company, going to bring us up to speed, Tim McHutchison. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You know, give my listeners a little bit about statement of who you guys are and what you're all about.
Yeah, so Wealth Minerals has, over the past 2 years, put together a portfolio of premier lithium assets in Chile. Chile represents a third of global production in lithium. It's the second largest player after Australia, but it has huge lithium endowment, you know, just by Mother Nature putting it there, and a lot of scope for ramping up production. There's a new president in Chile that came in earlier this year, and he's made it explicitly part of his sort of election platform to ramp up natural resources and to really have Chile play a much bigger role in the global lithium market. So Wealth Minerals put together this portfolio of assets in Chile in anticipation of the government eventually becoming, you know, really behind the idea of lithium, you know, being the Saudi Arabia of lithium, if you will. One-third of global production comes from there. And our assets are basically very easy to understand in the context of the industry. So one-third of global production comes from Chile. It comes from one geological unit called the Atacama Salar. It's in the southern part of the Salar where all that production comes from. We're in the northern part, so it's the same geological thing, just that we have the northern part and the production comes in the southern part, but geologically it's pretty much the same sort of development, if you will, over time that it's been formed. And then we have two other core projects. One's 100 kilometers to the east of Atacama up in the Andes, and that is very, very comparable in terms of size and at least the preliminary testing that's been done in terms of grade. Two projects right across the border in Argentina, yet those projects in Argentina a little bit more developed, and those companies are worth a lot more than Wealth is trading at right now. And then to the south, we have a project called Laguna Verde. We came out with the press release today on that. And what that is a combination sort of solar, or basically lithium-bearing area underneath an above-ground pool, but the pool also has lithium in it as well. So we're going to examine the possibility of taking that above-ground pool and extracting the lithium from that, which will fund the course of development of the company, but more importantly, will fund the expansion of that Laguna Verde operation to really incorporate all of the lithium that potentially is underground. And certainly all the work that we've done would indicate there's quite a bit of lithium underground. So we're excited about that as well. So in a nutshell, what's Wealth Minerals? It's a very focused company on the lithium space in Chile, which is a premier mining jurisdiction and has the potential to be, you know, by far the most important player in the lithium space globally. We have a great portfolio of assets, and we're just working to get these things forward and to basically have an impact on the lithium markets globally.
You know, last couple of months ago, you guys had an incredible non-broker raise of $5 million. What's happening with your company, and what are you going to do with that money?
Yeah, so the money has basically been going to building out our effort on the ground. So the phase of acquiring assets in the lithium space, and then sort of figuring out, you know, basically we believe that there's a major paradigm shift in the world in terms of how lithium is used and consumed and understood in global energy markets. By being a first mover in Chile, we basically vacuumed up everything we could at a reasonable price. And then once we had it, we sort of sorted out what we liked and what we didn't in terms of the ability of bringing things forward. And so the money that we raised has been, you know, now we've basically taken our asset acquisition portfolio and trimmed it down to exactly what we want with the best assets of what we picked up. Now that budget's going to developing those assets. We did have a little bit of a hiccup recently. It's public, or our drilling effort on Atacama. We just have to do some more outreach with the communities. But the money is going towards the basically drilling, getting that data underground, getting that data up and available to the public in the public space, so that people realize how great our assets are with hard numbers. But while you're doing all that, you know, you do have to take into account the local population and what their current concerns are and everything else, because at the end of the day, you're going to be neighbors for a long, long time. You want to make sure you get along with each other.
Absolutely.
But so the $5 million we raised, right? And the $5 million we raised is basically was to push that forward. A little bit of a hiccup because the local people still have some questions about what exactly is going on. And so we just basically go back, sharpen our pencils, and sit down with them and really explain that the opportunity for creating jobs, tax revenue is just tremendous on the asset we have in Atacama. And the question, of course, is, you know, moving that forward so that everyone is sort of on the same page, and so that there's comfort level across the board.
Let's talk about consumption. It seems like China is leading the global market in consumption. I read in Wall Street about 6 months ago, by 2025, that 70 to 75% of all the cars on the street in China will be electric. That being said, what is the state of the global lithium market as you see it?
Yeah, I mean, well, right now the global lithium market is in deficit, and there is a real disconnect between consumers of lithium and suppliers of lithium. So the consumers of lithium are multi-billion-dollar companies that tend to, you know, operate at a very high altitude and don't necessarily dive into the little nitty-gritty details of things that they're doing, because on an individual basis they're small in terms of dollar terms, right? I mean, lithium consumption when you're making a car is peanuts. It's a very small cost component of making an electric car. The key thing though is that without lithium you can't make the electric car. So even though it's a small in dollar terms, it's incredibly strategic in terms of actually being able to do it. So what's happening on the lithium market in general is that basically the consumers, which are multi-billion dollar companies, for example, they're just looking at the landscape and saying, oh, we're going to make all these electric cars, and here's the money that's available, blah, 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 go do it.
Right.
And so you're building these massive battery factories, these massive assembly lines that are all being retooled or built from scratch to build electric cars, for example. What they haven't really figured out is that they don't really know where the lithium is going to come from, because right now we're in a deficit scenario and the pipeline of projects globally doesn't really fit what the demand curve suggests, you know, going forward. So, you know, you have this awkward situation where you have basically car manufacturers and battery manufacturers, and it extends across the board, right? I mean, it's going to be boats are going to be electric powered,
right?
You know, airplanes will be electric powered. So you have this huge sort of demand, you know, this visible demand and projected demand that's out there, and yet from our perspective, which is sort of the, you know, we're the nitty gritty guys who actually dig up stuff and bring it to market, it's not at all clear where all of this lithium is going to come from. And so, you know, what's happened, for example, earlier this year, Toyota basically has been increasing its exposure to actually lithium mining. So yeah, car manufacturers getting right down to the, basically to the raw material to make cars. That's something that's, you know,
they're going
incredibly
direct,
rare.
They're going to the direct source is what you're saying. They're going right to the source.
Well, because they have to,
yeah.
Right? Because what they're, I mean, every single conversation we have with strategics is they're just like, I don't really care about the money terms. I don't care. They just, what they say is, I'm building, you know, a $5-6 billion battery plant, which is going to stand still if I don't have, you know, $100 million worth of lithium.
That's true.
Right. So they're like, if it costs me $100 million, $150 million, it doesn't matter, because the stakes are so much bigger than the cost of securing lithium supply that it's they're not very price sensitive, let me put it that way.
My guest today is Tim McHutchinson. He is the president of Wealth Minerals Limited. They trade on the OTCQX. You can find them on the ticker symbol WMLLF. I think they're undervalued here at 46 cents a share. If you're looking for a pure play in lithium, lithium right now is going about $20,000 per ton. Tim, let me ask you this while I got you on the phone. Wealth and capital markets, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, the lithium space is, you know, it's a hot space in 2017. You had a whole lot of money going into the space because obviously people were seeing, you know, more and more Teslas on the road and, you know, and everything else. And you sort of say to yourself, wow, so what's driving all of this? Lithium is a great way to get exposure to this idea, right, of going electric. So a lot of money was basically cramming down a very small pipeline in terms of stocks that were available to get exposure. And so 2017 was great when we were in the business, but, you know, obviously it drove up valuations to a high level. And then I think across the board, I think your investor audience who probably invests in a whole bunch of other sectors, you're looking across the board, 2018 for a lot of sectors has not been a great year. So because people are basically taking money off the table. The lithium space being, you know, that kind of within that liquidity dynamic, you know, money in, money out, the money flows, we've been hit hard, as has the entire lithium sector. I mean, across the board, the lithium sector is down about 50%. It's not just us. It's like a whole bunch of players that have been really hit hard from money being taken out of the sector because, I don't know, maybe they're meeting a margin call on another position or something. So across the board, the lithium space has definitely been hit hard, but the underlying dynamic is still there, and it's very much there, which is what we just talked about, right? Which is you have large multi-billion dollar companies who are just unaware of the fact that this very small component that's strategically crucial to what they're trying to do has a lot of issues, right? There's just a limited supply of lithium in the world today. I think long-term there's plenty of lithium, but in the short to medium term, those companies that have projects that, you know, that can be put into production in advance in a reasonable time frame, they're the ones that are going to really prosper. And so in the capital market space, we can raise money. You just mentioned, you know, that we have share issuances that were oversubscribed. And so, you know, the money's out there. People love the space. Unfortunately, capital markets, though, you know, it's a lot of it's driven by money flows. And we've been hit just like everyone else in our peer group, which is, you know, people put money on the table and take it off. And in the process of taking it off this year, it's been hard. But the fundamentals are very solid, and it's a really interesting time for wealth.
Tim, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to have you on here. Only thing I ask is that you don't wait 9 months to come back on my show. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
I wish you nothing but continued success. Hopefully you'll come back on in 50 days, and we will take it from there.
Thank you. Sounds good.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or the station.